This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
The planet is buzzing. Will the economic system collapse? How long will the Texas Dust Bowl go on? In the north, we expect spring floods, but now there are fall floods too? Behind the scenes, in September 2011, the Arctic ice has melted to a new all-time low. I'm Alex Smith, your radio tour guide, as governments and big oil companies plot to keep it all burning. From the White House gates, author Naomi Klein takes you behind the scenes before the arrests, the plot to bring dirty tar sands oil to Europe, covered in the flag of American independence. You are there in Washington as the Aboriginal people take their day to fight Father Greed. Outside the White House in Washington, Bill McKibben and the 350.org supporters were organizing a series of protests against the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. That was in early September. The decision was in President Obama's hands. Will the U.S. help front dirty oil to the world? Over 1,200 people said no and were arrested. Wisham is the great green journalist and host of Earthbeat Radio. She sends us these from-the-scene recordings from the White House, starting with this from author and activist Naomi Klein.
I'm a Canadian. That's a big reason why I'm here, because the tar sands are in Canada. And as a Canadian, I feel really passionately that the tar sands violate the values that we as Canadians say that we believe in. They've had an unbelievably corrosive effect on every aspect of life in Canada, you know, on the land, obviously. That's the first and foremost, on the land, on people who depend on the land. Today's the day, the Indigenous Day of Action here at the White House, and there are a lot of Indigenous people from Canada who live downstream from the tar sands, and they have been sounding the alarm now for years because they are dependent on water, wildlife, for a traditional way of life, and so they really are at the front lines of seeing the effects of this massive industrial project. But the tar sands have also had an incredibly corrosive effect on Canadian politics, on the role that Canada plays on the world stage, and you see this at climate meetings. You see this, we saw it in Copenhagen, where, you know, Canada was one of the signatories to the Kyoto Protocol, unlike the United States, and we have violated that agreement just so flagrantly because of the tar sands. Our emissions are up 30% since we signed the Kyoto Protocol. So we've really made a mockery of international law, and that's something that is extraordinary for Canada, because part of our identity as Canadians is to see ourselves as champions of international law. We're not a superpower. So we believe that international law is important. And, you know, we've got it into our heads now with our right-wing government that we can be an energy superpower. And this is really not a future that I think is a healthy one for our country. And I think this is really an ethical issue. It's a moral issue. There's this slogan now being used by the industry itself and by our right-wing government, which is to try to package tar sands oil as ethical oil. And the guy who actually came up with this slogan is a right-wing operative named Ezra Levant. He's sort of our very own Glenn Beck, if you will. And he openly says that he came up with this framing by studying progressive movements for fair trade coffee or, you know, against conflict minerals. And he's really co-opting the language of the left. So I think it's really important that we reclaim it, because the tar sands, I think, are one of the most pressing moral and ethical issues of our time because of the impacts on Indigenous people, but also because of the effects of climate change around the world. When we light this carbon bomb, as Bill McKibben has so memorably put it, the effects reverberate around the world, and the people who feel the effects most intensely are actually not people who live in the north, but people who overwhelmingly live in the global south, who are most vulnerable to the effects of climate change and did the least to produce those effects. So I see this as a moral and an ethical issue.
On the issue of ethical oil, I wonder if you can just describe that ad, because it's pretty remarkable they're claiming.
Well, it's a whole campaign, and the idea is to pit oil from Canada, your friendly neighbor to the north, your friendly democratic neighbor to the north, against oil, what they're now calling conflict oil, you once again co-opting the language of progressive movements, at conflict oil coming from, you know, Saudi Arabia, Iran. And so you have these images of, you know, gay pride day marches, indigenous people, women, you know, having freedom. And they contrast that with, you know, women in Saudi Arabia not having the freedom to drive. They contrast that with repression of gays in Iran. And, you know, it's just every value that we stand for as progressives is being distorted in this campaign. And it's so shameless because, first of all, the companies behind this are operating in all of these places. It's not an either or. The companies that are bankrolling this, you know, are happy to do business with the government of Saudi Arabia. They are happy to do business, you know, with any government that will let them get the oil out. And of course, the tar sands are not about the U.S. weaning itself off of so-called terrorist oil. They're going to get oil from everywhere. And now what we're learning is that tar sands oil may not even be consumed in the United States. It may be just exported to Europe and Latin America. And this is really interesting because the Canadian government has been on this massive lobbying campaign for the past 2 years, but really ramped up in the past 6 months, lobbying the British government and the European Union to lower their emission standards because there are laws that are being considered in Europe that would effectively ban tar sands oil because it's too dirty. Friends of the Earth Europe came out with a study a few weeks ago that showed that the Canadian government had had 110 meetings with government officials, lobbying meetings, over the past 2 years trying to resist these emission standards. Now, once again, as Canadians, this is an example of how the tar sands are corroding our values. You know, here we are. We've always paid lip service to the need for higher environmental standards around the world and having that in trade agreements. And here we are fighting governments that are actively doing that. And we've done that in the States. We've done it in California. We've done it fighting, you know, the Pentagon standards. So we're going around and we're trying to convince governments. Our government is trying to convince governments to lower their standards so that they'll take our dirty oil. But the thing about the European campaign is it never made sense because we don't sell tar sands oil to Europe. And we actually don't have a way to sell it to Europe because we don't have the refining capacity. So now that we're hearing that actually what the Keystone XL pipeline is about is bringing the oil to Texas so that it can be refined and shipped perhaps to Europe, now it all comes together. Now we understand why our government has been fighting so hard to get Europe to take our dirty oil when there wasn't a European market for it before. So a lot of pieces are coming together right now as we start digging into the real purpose of this pipeline. And, you know, the other thing I would just say, Daphne, before I run off, is that this is becoming a familiar pattern of this bait and switch, using the energy security argument to open up new and dangerous fossil fuel tracks. We've seen it with coal, right, where the push to open up the Powder River Basin to more, you know, to more mining leases was sold to people in Wyoming and Montana on the basis of energy security and using a very patriotic argument. You know, aren't you willing to make these sacrifices for the rest of the country? And a lot of people who were against that mining went along with it reluctantly on the basis of this energy security argument. We don't want to be dependent on foreign oil. Now, as soon as Obama approves the leases, we find out that actually they're building export terminals in Washington State, and this coal that was supposedly all about energy security is in fact being exported to China, and that's the real plan. Now we're seeing the same thing with tar sands. This whole thing is being sold on the basis of an energy security argument, getting off dangerous, terrorist, unethical oil. And now it turns out that it's being piped to an export terminal. So we should be very, very wary of that argument.
Thanks for speaking with us today on Earthbeat. Naomi Klein.
Great to talk with you, Daphne.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Earthbeat radio reporter Daphne Weisham with Naomi Klein in front of the White House on September 2nd, 2011. My thanks to Daphne for sharing this with EcoShock listeners. Let's move on to one of the most famous activists in the world.
This is Radio EcoShock.
At the start of this program, we heard Naomi Klein describe a deep plot by the Canadian government to get their dirty tar sands oil into Europe. The delivery route will be the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline, unless President Obama can hear the protests and arrests outside his White House. The tar sands machines are stripping the land out from under the Cree First Nations people. The river and air pollution poison the Dene people further north and the Métis all around. The Aboriginal people, as first landholders and now first victims of this industrial mega-monster, have their day to speak in D.C. We'll start with Tom Goldtooth, director of the Indigenous Environmental Network. This recording is by Daphne Wysham, host of Earthbeat Radio, in this special to Radio EcoShock.
So, I'm speaking with Tom Goldtooth. He's the director of the Indigenous Environmental Network. We're speaking in front of the White House just before the civil disobedience that's planned by a number of Native Americans and First Nations people from Canada. So, Tom, tell us, is this the most significant protest of its kind involving Native people in North America, or and why is this taking place here today?
Well, one thing that we recognize as Native people coming back here to Washington, D.C. is the years of activism from our Native people from the Americas and from Canada. You know, it takes me back when a lot of our elders have passed away and some of our people who are elders now who came here to Washington, D.C. back in the early 70s for the takeover of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the longest walk, when we filled this whole area with teepees. So this is a memory of that and those people who gave their lives and struggle for Native rights. And this is coming here as part of this large two-week civil resistance is very critical to our Native movement, not only our brothers and sisters here of the United States, but our brothers and sisters from Canada who come from the tar sands impact zone, where they're literally dying from cancer and other environmental health illnesses related to the tar sands and petroleum. We're here to voice out that this synthetic crude oil that flows through this vein called the Keystone XL pipeline, if it gets approved, as well as other pipelines that have been developed, like the Keystone that's currently operating and the Alberta Clipper Line by Enbridge Corporation, that these are arteries like snakes and like spiders going over our sacred Mother Earth, and that we have to put a stop to this insanity. This is not only dirty oil that flows through there, but it's blood oil. Blood oil at the expense of the rights of this country's first peoples, our first citizens, the indigenous people, the aboriginal people of Canada and U.S. So, you know, the native people that we brought here within our Indigenous Environmental Network that come from the prairie lands, that come from Canada as well, we're here to speak out. They are here to speak out that this pipeline must not be approved, to ask Obama to make the right decision. You know, Obama right now is not listening to nature. Nature is speaking right now with the impacts of this climate crisis, the compounding change from climate change and global warming. There's a link there. This dirty oil is one of the most energy-intensive operations, not only in North America, but throughout the world. It's just insane. And many of the people in America don't know this is happening. The people right here in the district here of don't know it's happening. So this is one way that we've been successful with lifting up the voices of our Native American, that this is a treaty rights issue. It's a life and death issue, and we're even having a hard time raising funds for those people who have come here from their homelands who don't have the $100 for the processing fee, as we have this rest scenario here. So we're passing the hat here. These people come from poverty-stricken areas, and so we're here to stand together with the environmentalists, to the youth, the students, the women, people in labor, the people who are concerned about what's happening or what is not happening under the Obama administration. Many of us supported President Barack Obama years ago in his election process, and he made promises, and we stood with him. And one of our tribes in Montana, the Crow Nation, even adopted him and gave him an Indian name. So we're here to remind him to make the right decision, say no to the Keystone XL pipeline.
Now, one of the responses that is routinely made to, you know, this issue of why we should continue to use the tar sands or build this pipeline into the United States is that this is quote-unquote ethical oil. In fact, there's a big ad campaign calling this ethical oil coming from Canada because it's not coming from the Middle East. It's coming from a stable country to our north. What do you say to that ad campaign, and what do you say to people who say this is about energy security for the United States?
Well, one thing, this oil that's coming down from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, is not ethical. Again, it's at the expense of the health of the First Nation, the indigenous people up there, the Dene, the Cree, and the Métis. They are literally dying from the pollution that's coming out of the whole processing facilities of the tar sands. And if anyone wants to go up there, they can look at it. Mordor is alive and well in Canada. If they go Google search, you can see this open pit mine in northern Canada from the satellites. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, it's not about jobs. It's not about energy independence of the United States. When you consider that all the oil that's going to flow from the Keystone down to the Gulf Coast is going to be processed, refined, and shipped out to other countries. It's going to be exported. People need to know that.
So you'll be getting arrested here today along with how many folks from Native communities, do you know?
Well, we have elected chiefs here from throughout Canada and the United States. We have grassroots leaders and activists, and I'm one of about probably a dozen Native people who are gonna make that stand in defense of the rights of our Indigenous people and willing to make that stand to get arrested. I'm gonna be one of them.
Well, thanks for speaking with us today. Tom Goldtooth, the Director of Indigenous Environmental Network on Earthbeat.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here standing with these people. You know, when my homeland in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, we already have one of these pipelines going through there, the Alberta Clipper. We tried to stop it, but, you know, these are corporations with a lot of money. And unfortunately, money talks in this country. And that's why we are also asking that we need another economic paradigm in this country. You know, the system we have now is not sustainable. It's taken too much from Mother Earth. We got to address consumerism, but we have to also address the whole issue that we're consuming too much. Consumption issue is a big issue. The United States has to really look at its energy addiction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was Daphne Washam recording at the Keystone XL Tar Sands Pipeline outside the White House, the protests there. From her long years as host of Earthbeat Radio, Daphne walks the talk. In her blog at the Institute for Policy Studies, Washam explains to her son why mom has to go get arrested. That story was on the Huffington Post and reprinted in the New York Times. Daphne made these recordings of Bill McKibben and the Aboriginal people who traveled from all over North America to speak out against the pipeline and the tar sands. Then she went to get arrested. Keep in touch with Daphne Washam at earthbeatradio.org and check my blog at ecoshock.info for more bonus audio from this program. I'm Alex Smith. As we finish up Radio EcoShock this week, I thank you so much for listening, and here are more First Nations voices from Washington, D.C.
I want to say that for us, this is a spiritual action. We thank Mother Earth for the water. Water is life. Without water, we cannot live. The tar sands oil mine wastes our precious sacred water. We have to stand up for Mother Earth. We have to stand up for our sacred water, for our children, our grandchildren, our coming generations. These are our relatives. Mother Earth is our relative. It's with a great honor that I come here today to ask President Obama to stand with us for Mother Earth against Father Greed. I ask him to stand with the human beings, the two-legged, winged, four-legged nations, the standing silent nations. We need water to live and to say no to the pipeline to coming into this country here, America. When the people came here to America, we have a beautiful land, plenty of water, trees, everything we need to live in a good way on Mother Earth. Now, because the corporations and their power, they're considered human beings. Well, we have a treaty with America, the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty, ratified by their Congress, never taken away. It's a law. It's international law. This is our territory. The pipeline will cross 2,000 streams, lakes, creeks. It'll cross our precious Oglala Aquifer, which gives groundwater to 2 million people in 8 states in the plains region of this country. We need that water. This pipeline has the potential to contaminate the Oglala Aquifer as well as these 2,000 surface water areas. We have to stand up and say no. Say no to the pipeline. Say no to the corporations. We have the sun, the powerful sun, which can power the whole world if they use solar power. That's the way we need to go for our future generations. Our coming generations are depending on us. We're depending on each other and all of our good allies around the world to help us, all of our allies through this country, to ask President Obama to say no, to protect what good water we have left, to protect our land, this land that we need to live on, that we love, that is here for us. Mother Earth is here for us. Now is our chance to stand up for Mother Earth against Father Greed. Thank you to everyone.
Hello, friends and relatives. My name is Candy. It's actually Eagle Woman is my Indian name, but my first name is Candy, and I work with the Indigenous Environmental Network. And I'm here today because I come from an impacted community. I'm from North Dakota, where we originally had a proposed oil refinery to bring tar sands oil down to our refinery, to our reservation, refine it there, send the energy out somewhere else, using lots and lots of water, things of that nature. Now, we still have a proposed refinery, but they just want to use hydraulic fracturing instead. And it's just crazy, all these methods, oil, gas, coal. And with oil in particular, it's something that's finite. It's going to run out. The fact that we're even in the tar sands shows us that we're doing all these unconventional methods because the easiest stuff to get to is gone. We're desalinating water in California and in Florida, and yet we're talking about running a pipeline through the Oglala Aquifer, which is the largest fresh water source that we have. It's insane and criminal that they're even thinking about doing something like this through the heartlands of the United States. And they're doing it in Canada. They're taking all of these things. It looks like a moonscape up there now. I have a friend that came to North Dakota to visit me, and she couldn't be here today because she has cancer. And she's from Fort McMurray, and she's so sick from her treatments, she couldn't make the trip here today. I'm a cancer survivor. All my friends, everybody I know, I have a friend whose two children aren't going to know their mom because she's in the ground, because she had cancer. My mom's friend, 48 years old, cancer. My friend's dad, 50s. Brain cancer. This is in communities of 300-400 people. And it's disproportionate impacts right now, but it's going to affect all of us. It is, in fact, affecting all of us. We're talking about using freshwater systems for something so energy intensive and so backwards that it just doesn't make any sense. And if President Obama would just listen to what's in his heart and not to the corporations, Barack, you would know what to do. Your heart tells you, look at your little girls, and honestly, what would you tell them about this day in history? What do you want them to remember from you when they grow up? Because they can look back on this and be so proud of their dad and say he did what was right. Or their future could be uncertain.
So if you're planning on risking arrest today and you have any last pieces of jewelry or items that you forgot to leave with somebody, please see. Thank you.
You've been listening to Voices from the Indigenous Peoples Protest outside the White House in Washington, D.C. First Nations people from all over North America, from the Canadian far north, where the tar sands dig up lands half the size of Florida, through the American West and the Midwest states as the pipelines flow and leak, they came to speak to us and to be arrested. My thanks to Earthbeat Radio host Daphne Wisham for these recordings. Daphne also got arrested to help President Obama stop this crazy Keystone XL pipeline project. See what you can do where you live.